We're on the last week of our Hello, Holy Spirit series, a name that we took from Diane Lehman, who had a book that you might want to read about the Holy Spirit from the Urbana Vineyard. But I liked it because it captured that the Spirit of God is actually a person that we can relate to and someone we can come to know and be introduced and continue to get to know at a deeper level. You know, everybody here, you need to embrace the Holy Spirit fully, completely. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to understand it's not okay when you say, I love the Father, I love the Son, but oh, that Holy Spirit, I just don't know what I think about it. That's not going to work. If you want your life to do well, you have to fully embrace all of God, which includes His Holy Spirit. And what Scripture makes clear, which is amazing, that He chooses of all places He can hang out, the stars, the heavens, the beautiful waterfalls, He hangs out, and where He wants to dwell is in us. And He wants to make His home in us. He says we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We're actually His house. And as we've had this imagery of this house, we've talked about that a lot, about how our heart is like, it's Christ's home. It's where the Spirit of Christ dwells, right? And we have all these different rooms in our heart. And so when God, the Holy Spirit, wants to come to us, He comes by His Spirit, and He wants to indwell us completely. And He wants access to not just part of it, He actually wants access to all of the rooms of our house, of our heart. So, you know, if you take the visual, it's like He wants access to the bedroom. He wants to understand, you know, He wants to come in and help us understand sexuality the way He sees sexuality. He wants us to come in into a place of the library, the things we give our minds to, the way we think and perceive things. He wants to come in and give us more clarity of how we see and think. He wants to go into our rec room, right? He wants to go into our kitchen where we take what we think, things we take into our body. He wants to go into our office where we pay the bills and we decide what to do with our money. And He wants us to give us all the passwords and the safes combination, right? Access to everything, right? And He also likes to go into those closets that we have locked away, you know? Those messy closets. He even likes to go in the basement that's unfinished, you know? It's just rough, right? He wants to go in these places. He loves to go in the places that we often feel strange about allowing into. He loves to come and dwell in all of us. And so, but what we find, even as I'm saying these things, you can also feel that oftentimes our flesh resists this. Like, oh, no, 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 I'm not doing that. You know, you can feel this kind of, well, not that, not this. And so that's a resistance, and that's why the Scripture talks so often about don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And, you know, because we often get to places where sometimes we grieve Him because we don't even know that's what He wants. Like some of you may be right now in a spot, you have not committed your life to Jesus, and He's like, He's still on the front porch. And you're kind of looking out, I'm thinking about it, you know. But you haven't even opened the door all the way to say, come in, right? If you're at that place, do that today. But many of us have invited Him in, but sometimes when we invite Him into our hearts, what do? We kind of keep Him in the entryway, right? Or maybe we have that formal setting room. You know, they don't have that much in houses anymore, but they used to, where you have this room that is all perfect and no one ever goes there, right? Yeah, that's where He's like, Jesus, you stay, I'll be back. Where I really live, where I really go through, I don't let you get back there, right? So we're at this spot of understanding this is what we have a tendency of thinking, well, I'm resisting because sometimes we don't know that's what He wants. And other times it's because we're afraid for what He's going to find. And the strange way of thinking that way is that He doesn't know what's there to start with. Like, you know, like I talked about last week, like He opens my closet and goes, oh my goodness, David, this is worse than I thought. This is really bad. I got to be a different God than this to handle this, you know. So, no, He saw all that ahead of time. What He's just asking is say, will you allow me into what I already see? And let me help you in the places that you're not doing well in and celebrate the places you are doing well. Would you let me just into your life, in all parts of your life, right? And so, we understand that yielding and welcoming the Holy Spirit starts the relationship, but then there's this spot that we have to continue to keep responding to the Holy Spirit, and that continues the relationship and how He communicates to us. And as we do that, as we say, you learn to recognize, you learn to sense His presence better and better the more you welcome His presence and respond to His presence, the more you hear Him and respond to what He says. Now, and when you do that, you experience Him. You experience who God is. You come to know Him. You don't know about Him anymore. You actually begin knowing God and understanding and trusting Him more and more. as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, we experience God coming into every area of our life and then also coming through us to the people around us. And so today, the title that we're going to be talking about is Walk by the Spirit. And, you know, what that looks like. You know, in Galatians, it talks about this place. Now, first off, let's just start with this. Do you believe that you can walk by the Spirit? All right? That's a good question. Do you understand that, what that means? Hopefully we'll get that a little bit better. In Galatians, it describes it this way. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of flesh. The Message puts it this way. Live freely, animated, and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness, for there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with the free spirit. With a free spirit, I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And so, understanding this place of the Holy Spirit, do you believe that you can walk by the Spirit? Now, for me, it's like, this is a question I actually, when I was a new Christian, I wanted to be radical so bad. I wanted to be this Christian that was really serious about God. And so we would talk about walking in the Spirit a lot. We'd have dialogue and debates on what that'd be like. And I really wanted to walk in the Spirit, especially because I thought, man, you know, you might not even have to have a job if you walk in the Spirit. You just run around and minister to people. And so, you know, and my image was like, it's, you know, freedom is just like you do what you kind of just flow. That's kind of walking in the Spirit, how I thought about things. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, I thought of it, you know, I had these bizarre images of like Jesus, you know, just like, you know, flowing out of me. I said, well, I can't be that, but I kind of like that. God's, you know, the Spirit's on me and it's coming out of me and I want to experience that. And the problem is I thought, you know, I don't know how to do that. So I looked at models and in my day, it was in the 70s, right? And the church was quite different than it is now. It was old people, and there was these new people coming in they didn't know what to do with, right? And so I remember thinking about this, and I thought, what does it mean? What does this look like? And I thought, well, this is what the church looks like back in my day, right? And I thought, I don't see the Spirit there very much, like I was thinking, you know? I don't even, so in my mind, I don't know how I responded to that, but I thought, what is it like to walk in the Spirit? And what I loved these guys that they even looked like Jesus, right? These guys would travel around. And I thought, man, this would be walking the Spirit. All I need now is to play an instrument, and I need to grow my hair a little longer. I had a beard, but, you know, and then I need a bus. I can go around, worship, and people were doing this all over the place in the 70s. They'd go in a place, they just land, they start talking about Jesus, and they start worshiping. And I thought, that's what it is. You know, I remember we thought of this walking in the Spirit, it would just come on us and we just start walking in the Spirit, you know. I remember one guy, we had this long discussion, I've used this example before, but it always cracks me up. We had this long discussion on, should you use an alarm clock as a Christian, you know. Shouldn't the Spirit be able to wake you up? I mean, come on now. And so that's the kind of stuff. I mean, we're kind of emphasizing the wrong theology that we really need at the point. But this idea, like, we can just kind of sense what's going on and it'll start moving us to Jesus. And there's some truth in that, but really, what do you believe when you think about walking the Spirit? Is it something that you feel like, hey, I can do that or not? You know, how does that look? Do you believe you can walk in the Spirit? And another big question really is this, which is really the starting question, do you even want to? Do you have a desire to? And quite honestly, that's your starting question. And because we often, your image of walking the Spirit may not be the same as mine, but I tell you, oftentimes when we think of the walking of the Spirit, we put it in somewhere else than where we're at. We put it in a spot that we say, yeah, I might be able to walk in the Spirit if I had a different job or a different spouse or different kids or different circumstances in life or if I was more mature in Christ or maybe if I became a missionary, that would cause me to walk in the Spirit. I'd have to do something. Or, you know, maybe I could quit my job and be a monk, and then I could probably, and we start thinking those kind of things, maybe different versions of that. And we, if you can't believe that it can happen right now, or if you're not thinking like right now, and if you're not, and if you're thinking that somehow it's not something you desire, you just need to know God wants to show you something new about walking in the Spirit. Because when you understand what walking in the Spirit is, you desire it. It's so good. And you understand, I want that. All right, so that's your starting point. But then after you want that, to understand that it happens right now. You know, we said in the second chapter of Acts, it didn't wait till later. The Spirit of God began working within people, and it changed everything in their normal environment around them. It wasn't dependent on circumstances, and it was for every follower of Jesus. And so the way we find Christians today, I often, when they hear walk in the Spirit, they just kind of think it's beyond me. They start just checking out. Some of you are checking out already. Don't check out. Hang in there, right? You can walk in the Spirit. And God wants to show every believer how to walk in the Spirit, right? And he wants to convince you, even if you're not convinced, that it's so good, and he wants to show you how you do it. How do you actually do that? And so today my hope is that the ending result will be that you'll want to walk in the Spirit, and you'll know better how to do it. Whether you're a brand new believer or you've been around for a long time, you'll know more what that means. Now, one thing I'd say about walking in the Spirit is walking in the Spirit is learned. That's really important to understand that. Walking in the Spirit, we sometimes think of walking in the Spirit of like some switch gets flipped on and like, oh, I'm walking in the Spirit now, you know? And that's not really how it works, right? You know, we wake up and all of a sudden God's flowing through me 24/7, through people in me and out of me. That's what we hope, right? Now, I had friends of mine during my period of time where we were talking about walking in the Spirit, and they said, you know, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's going to be what you need. And quite honestly, they were right. I need to fully be filled with the Holy Spirit. But, you know, even in that, what I realize is even now I can look back and say, you know, I have had lots and lots of experience where the power of God came on me dramatically, you know, delivered me from darkness and areas of bondage. I've had him come on me when I'm in places of despair and he brings me life. I've been ripped with fear and all of a sudden God just comes and brings me comfort. I've had him go into the deepest place of my life. And I love the presence of God. I love when the Holy Spirit manifests his presence and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And everybody here needs to have that be part of their life. It's the memories of my best memories of my life are those moments, right? So it's very important. But I have to tell you, I can also tell you that being filled with the Holy Spirit is not the same as walking in the Holy Spirit. It's different. Walking by the Spirit is different. You know, if you imagine, you learn to walk. If you think of a small kid, there's a couple things you'll notice. They got a desire to walk. It's just built in them, right? They just know, they just want to walk. I mean, they'll whack themselves around, hit the table, and they'll keep going up, trying to walk, right? And they learn it through process. And as they take a step and they learn it works, they do it the next time, and they learn to walk. And this thing of walking by the Spirit is nothing. We never get it completely down, but we can walk to a greater and greater degree in the Spirit. But it's so important to know that it's something that's learned. Also, I'd say this, is that walking in the Spirit is walking by truth and the Spirit. It's not the two, truth and Spirit have to be married for you to learn to walk well. Because you're learning to respond to a God who's defined and has truth. And so it's really important. In a way, we use this all the time in our church, but I'll bore you with it again. It's about the Holy Spirit is we open ourselves wide to the Holy Spirit, and we take the truth of Scripture, and we open our hearts wide to that at the same time. It's always Spirit and truth. Because that, even what we're doing now, we're instructing you through truth of the Scripture, but we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come and to explain it to you. Right? You have to have both going. And so in that spot of understanding that if you get to a spot in which that you decide, and you put this down and you do this, you'll become a Corinthian who has all this power but is missing the mark completely. And if you decide, I don't really need the Holy Spirit, you become a Pharisee who knows the word inside and out of the Scripture and is dead towards God. You understand? It requires both together. And so as we do that, there's two sections of Scripture I think are just so helpful in kind of helping us understand this concept of walking by the Spirit that can give us great instruction. And then one is in Corinthians, and the other is in Galatians. I'll do the Corinthians first. In Corinthians, this passage is, I encourage you to read it because we're just going to read parts of it. But this passage is talking about our ministry as followers of Jesus who now have the Holy Spirit within us and comparing it to the ministry of Moses. And you're like, what? Yeah. And it's saying, basically, you have, this ministry is more powerful than Moses. And they go, what? And they're just, you can imagine the people in Corinthians who aren't exactly your ideal Christians, not exactly the top of the line as far as their morality and all that. He's basically speaking to them and saying, this is a ministry God has given you by his grace. And so as he begins talking about it, you know, and so what happened is Moses in his ministry, when he would go to God, he would meet with God face to face, and the power and the presence of the glory of God would come on, and he'd begin, the Spirit would just be glowing off of him, right? And he actually had to put a veil over his face because it freaked everybody out, right? It was just like too much for them to take in because they weren't under the new covenant, right? And so he had to have a veil to the glory of God that he experienced. And so there's this restriction in the ministry of Moses. And so what he's basically comparing that to is he's saying, we have a different ministry where the veil's taken off. And he begins talking about, before we get into the verse that we're reading, he talks about you're competent from God. You have competence from God of this new covenant. You have now God's letters written not on a scroll, not on a tablet, but on your heart. He is allowing you to have this ministry of God coming through you. And there is no longer the veil. And it goes on, it says, but when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, now he's referring to us, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of his knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Amazing. This is our ministry. And so as we look at this, it just has great insight. First off, the veil is taken away. We have access to God. The Holy Spirit actually can dwell with us and speak to us directly. We can experience his presence and his glory directly. And then as this talks about, is this, and now what you'll experience is you have this freedom because you have God with you. And it brings the characteristics of the Spirit is you find freedom. You no longer have shame and condemnation and striving. You have freedom, right? In 18 it talks about, it says, and then we see God. Okay? In other words, with unveiled faces, we contemplate the Lord's glory. We actually can just take in God's glory. We contemplate who he is. We're in relationship. He's like in our living room. He's in our family room. He's everywhere, and we're just contemplating him, and we experience that. And then when we do that, it does this amazing thing. As we have him close to us, we get to experience him, and by his presence and by interacting with him, it transforms us. It literally changes us from the inside out, you know, and into his image, becoming more like him, is ever-increasing glory. So it doesn't go downhill. It keeps going to greater and greater degrees as we're in relationship with God, right? And then it goes on to talk about this place. It says, since through God's mercy, in other words, we got this ministry we have, this amazing ability to have God come with us and come out, not by anything we did. It's only because of God's mercy. So because of that, we don't have to worry about it. We didn't gain it. We don't have to worry about losing it. We don't have to be afraid, and we don't have to lose heart. We can do ministry because now we don't have to be anything other than a servant, allowing him to come through us, not us doing it. You see? It's just this amazing thing when the Holy Spirit comes in you, how God can use you, and it's not up to you. But we get to be a part of this thing. And it goes on to explain basically the vision statement for all believers. It says, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as servants for his sake. For God said, let the light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in Christ's face. We get to experience it coming through us. So in the summary, the walking in the Spirit is this place in which we take God. Part of walking in the Spirit is taking God into the deepest parts of our heart, and as he's transforming us, this fruit comes out of us. And it's important because sometimes When people think of, I hear people talking about walking in the Spirit, it's like, oh, we have this spiritual earpiece we stick in, you know? And we say, okay, what do you want me to say, God? Say this, da-da-da-da. You know, he just talks to us that way, right? And sometimes he gives us words of knowledge that way. But in essence, what really happens is we know him. You know, and he comes out of us because he's in us. That's a different thing than trying to hear God. He's actually, we're being transformed by his power, and that is being expressed through us, right? Then as we go further, we look in Galatians. It says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh's desires are contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh, they are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, I'll stop there. Understand that the Galatians, they actually were closing their doors off of their heart. They were hardening their heart. And the reason they're hardening their heart is they're going back to the law. They're going away from allowing the Holy Spirit to resonate with them and lead them and guide them and give them. They begin going back to living by rules and regulations. And it's basically, that's the flesh. So the flesh can be all the things that, you know, we talked about that are obvious that are coming up here, or it can be this place of we begin, that it takes us to the same spot. When we cut ourselves off, the flesh takes over. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. Now, as we look at that, is what we see in that in verse 16 is this is a real good, helpful verse. You know, maybe you're in a spot where you realize, man, I got these sins that I can't seem to whoop in my life. I keep going to these places of gratification of the flesh, and I know, you know, you can even know they're destructive, and you keep going to them. You think, I got to shape up and quit doing that. And so you keep working at trying to get these things cleaned up. It's like you're cleaning out your closets, trying your best to do it, and they keep getting filled up with stuff, right? And the reason it is you cannot do that without God's power. And the only way you're going to ever not gratify and keep leading, being led by the flesh is by simply this, by listening and walking in the Spirit. If you do that, it will kill the flesh and its power, all right? It's listening for the other voice, not your flesh's voice, but the Spirit's voice. That's great instruction for us. Now, so you know you're at that spot where you struggle. You say, I have such ambition. I find myself judging everybody. I'm critical all the time. I'm envious. I'm jealous. My relationships are a wreck. You know, I keep going to my drug of choice. What do? Walk in the Spirit. Don't just try to get that to stop. The only way you can get that to stop is to change your response from the flesh to the Spirit. Now, it goes on to talk about there's a contrary in desires between the flesh and the Spirit. This really helps us. When we walk by the Spirit, understand it's in a direct competition with our flesh, all right? And so even right now, as I'm talking about it, you can kind of feel the competition happening, right? When we try to think about walking in the Spirit, we find ourselves in a place that it's directly opposed oftentimes to our flesh. And as we think about that, it's this freedom. The flesh promises freedom and the Spirit promises freedom. We've got to decide which one we're going to believe, right? And so there's a place of stepping in walking in the Spirit, right? There is a time, I've had times where my life is just like I'm walking along, I'm skipping, I'm dancing, right? There's other times, and some of you are in these times, it's not like that. I was in the Colorado River one time trying to trout fish. I'm not very good at it anyway, and I didn't understand how powerful the Colorado River is and how cold it is if you fall into it. And so what I learned is every step, if you've ever done trout fishing, it starts getting up to about here, you get your footing and then make the next step because it'll take you out in a second, right? Now, if I do that, I still have a great time. I feel the fulfillment of fishing, and I enjoy my time, but if I let the current take me and I'm not careful in how I step. So walking the Spirit can be really flowing in the Spirit, and it also can be choices to say yes to the Spirit and yes to the Spirit as we walk. And if we look a little bit further, it talks about what the payoff is. Because here's a good question. What does the fruit of the Spirit, who does it benefit? And the thing is, it benefits everybody. It blesses God, mostly, but we benefit. When you have these kind of characteristics in you, it benefits you tremendously. Your life gets better. And guess what? Everybody around you's life gets better, too, because it comes out of you. The fruit comes out of you. So there's great benefit. And then I love how it closes out. It's saying, since we live by the Spirit, and there's the reason you have even life everlasting, the reason you're in relationship because of the Spirit, why don't you stay with him? why do your Galatians keep going back to something else? Stay with the person who brought you out of darkness so he can bring you out of more. Stay with him. Stay in step with him. In other words, the idea is the Spirit is moving along, taking somewhere. Stay in step with where he's at. When you do that, you will find what God's made you to be. Right? Now, in the fruit of the Spirit, let me just talk about this a little bit. Is in the vineyard, we often talk about being walking in the Spirit in the sense of understanding that God's presence and kingdom breaks in. And where I'm talking to someone, my neighbor who's going through a struggle, a person that at my work or my school or one of you as we're praying, and God gives us places in which supernaturally God breaks in. We pray for someone and they're healed. We pray for someone and they're delivered from a demon. We pray for someone and they understand who Jesus is supernaturally, that God's power and his gifts come through us. And that is very much a part of the Spirit of God. But we also have his fruit coming through us. All those places of we're formed in the image of God. And those things are just the same way that God uses that to bring his Spirit through us as well. And it's real important to understand that we need both. We need to keep singing, more love, more power, more of you in my life. I want more love, but I also want more power. I want the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, and I want the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, quite honestly, we have to understand that the gifts of the Spirit are very different than the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are very different than the fruit of the Spirit, right? They're just gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. And so you have to understand what you're looking for is you're looking for transformation from the gifts of the Spirit, but you're also saying, God, because I love people, I need your power to come. And we want to be people who are following the Spirit. What you'll know is you'll see love and characteristics of patience and kindness and forbearance. All those things will be part of what we say, that's the Holy Spirit coming through that person. And we also want, just like we see in the second chapter of Acts, we see the power of God coming in this dramatic way while they're hanging around and being generous with one another, loving each other and caring about each other. And, you know, that's the characteristic of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a distinct difference between the flesh and the Spirit. And you can be understanding because you start seeing the fruit of the Spirit and you see the power of the Spirit for the sake of God's glory and changing people's lives. All right? So God wants to have us get really open to the Holy Spirit, both in his filling and indwelling, but especially in the spot of how to walk it out. To start choosing to listen to the Spirit instead of our flesh. Start recognizing the difference between the two. And so let me just close with a challenge. The worship team can come on up. This week, every morning, maybe set an alarm on those iPhones, and those phones have lots of things on them that can be very spiritual. An alarm. Do what the challenge said. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, what did the challenge say? The challenge say is just, when you get up, is just welcome the Holy Spirit into all the areas of your life in a tangible way. Just say, God, I welcome you. You might even raise your hand and say, I welcome you into every area of my life. If you're scared, tell them, I'm scared, but I welcome you into all the areas of my life. I really do want that. And speak that out. And I want you to come into any place you have in me, and also I want you to come through me anytime you want today. Right? Now here's some prayers that might be helpful. Apostle prayers. God, I need you in all the rooms of my heart. I open the doors of my heart. I welcome your Spirit in. Just think of all this. I start my day by opening all the doors. Or, Holy Spirit, go with me today. Teach me the difference between my flesh and my spirit, and show me how to walk by the Spirit throughout my day. Let me hear that difference in voice, and let me say yes to the Spirit. Would you stand?